Hey, you should listen to Cold Read Radio because we read cold works. Well, we read, we cold read works by you.
Yes, we read cold reads by you, the writer. We want you to send in your work.
And the listener.
Yeah, and the listener.
We can do anything. Pilots, screenplays, poems, short stories, sketches.
Sexual erotic fan fiction.
All right, that's Matt's wish.
It's going
to
happen.
But please submit them to submission@coldreadradio.com. That's submission,
not plural,
at coldreadradio.com.
The Nerdist School Network. For class and show information, visit nerdistschool.com.
Hey, foodie callers. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every week. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Fun fact, leaving a review makes a huge difference with iTunes and helps us bring you more foodie call every freaking week. Did you know we're also on social media? You can follow us for live foodie updates on Instagram and Twitter at Foodie Call Pod. And for recipes and confusing posts from my great aunt Virginia, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/foodiecallpodcast. Got a suggestion for a guest or want some meat sale advice from Omar? Shoot us an email, foodiecallpodcast@gmail.com. Did you get all that? For our social security and credit card numbers, listen to the end of this show. Thanks so much for listening. We love you way more than grocery flyers.
Booty call, booty call, not quite a booty call, a booty call. Booty call, booty call, not quite a booty call, a booty call.
Booty call, the interview podcast that asks guests, what's your secret sauce? With your hosts, Kylie Hodges and Omar Nava.
Booty call.
Yay!
Woo!
Yeah!
Hello! You are listening to Foodie Call, where each week we discuss one delicious food dish with a hilarious guest and find out what their secrets are in the kitchen. I'm your host, Kylie Hodges, TV host producer, and I ate a whole row of Oreos last night.
It's true. I have video proof.
They were soggy from all of my tears falling on them. Sitting across from me is Omar Nava, comedian, writer, and he has enough self-control to take 2 weeks to eat one Oreo.
Because we got the double stuffed. I can eat a regular one in 1 week.
Hi, Omi.
Hello.
Together through our disgustingly adorable love for each other, we also found that we love to cook and eat together, and we want to discuss with the world what it is that makes food so great. So here we are, every week, on Foodie Call.
On Foodie Call, just for you, the people. We do this for y'all.
And you guys can follow our weekly adventures of cooking together and eating together on Instagram at Foodie Call Pod.
On Twitter at Foodie Call Pod.
I rarely tweet. I should. You should take
over
the Twitter.
I'll take over the Twitter handle. It'll just be a whole bunch of, at midnight's over. So we can't even hashtag war game, whatever.
I think Twitter is just going to go down the tubes now that at midnight's gone.
Oh, we should get on Twitchy.
What's that?
Oh, man. That's like the alt-right. That's where all the Nazis live.
It's like the Breitbart Twitter?
Kinda, yeah. I don't really know exactly, but I read an article about someone getting their Twitter tweet shared on Twitchy, and then they got attacked by all these right-wing nuts.
Mm, well, any attention is good attention in my eyes.
Everyone's got to eat. Even Nazis.
Even Nazis. All right. I wanted to talk about, every week we talk about our sweet and sour every week we talk about our sweet and sour spots, but this week is special. Here's why. Last night was the finale of The Bachelorette, and last week my sour moment was about The Bachelorette, but this week it's really my sour moment about The Bachelorette, and you were watching it with me. And I would
as
just like,
much as I tried not to, I was watching it with you.
Every week, Omar claims that he's not going to watch it. He never wants to watch it. And yet somehow he finds himself in the room with me. And whatever he was doing, he's no longer doing. And he's watching the TV and asking me questions. Who's he? Why is he doing that? So you clearly love The Bachelorette.
I am infected, I would say is the best term.
Well, last night was the finale, and here's the thing. I host an after show recapping this show, so normally I don't take up space on here talking about The Bachelorette when I do it in another place. But if you want to follow along tonight on Pop Hearth TV's Facebook page, we will be recapping the finale, so I'll just keep this brief. I felt deeply invested in this season only because Peter, one of the men, is from Madison, Wisconsin, my hometown.
One of the finalists.
He made it to the, well, spoiler alert, the final two. And I was convinced from the get-go that he was going to win. He, on paper, was like the George Clooney of the show. He's got that silver fox hair going on, just like you, Omi. Except yeah. He's a little more silvery. Mm-hmm. He's a personal trainer, but he's not, like, douchey. He seems like he has a really level head on his shoulders. He loves his family. He's got a good business going for him. And you could just feel the chemistry between him and Rachel on camera. It felt so obvious he was going to win. And he didn't.
Yeah.
And the thing is, okay, I know you claimed you didn't like watching, but you pretty much watched the whole season with me. Did you think he was going to win?
I watched a majority of the season. I honestly couldn't tell who was going to win, but the last, like, two episodes, I felt he was going to win. Enough so that I even thought there was going to be a twist at the end where she ended up... Oh, spoiler alert.
Well, it already aired, so I guess we don't have to say that.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
I even thought, like, after they showed us that he got kicked out, I thought somehow he's coming back and he's going to get her. He's going to win her over.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
And here's the thing. From the beginning, I also haven't liked Brian. He's, on paper, a douchebag. Just on paper. He's never done anything very douchey to me. But here's why I'm deducting points from him. This might also eliminate any listeners that we have. He's from Miami.
Everyone's going to be like, wait, I thought I tuned into a food podcast, not a Bachelorette recap podcast.
Don't worry. We eat while watching The Bachelorette. Therefore, this is relevant.
Yeah.
Brian is from Miami. I'm going to deduct a point. I've never been to Miami. But I don't like Florida as a state. Sorry.
That's right. But neither Miami does global warming.
Oh, true. But Miami to me represents like all of the men in this world that I've ever encountered at a bar that I bullied.
You're a bully?
I bully men. I don't know.
And so because of that, you hate them?
Why do you think I bully them?
Oh,
okay,
boy.
Let me explain. This is not going where I thought it would. Okay.
Maybe you should get on Twitchy.
I, as you know, am a very aggressive lady when it comes to dating. In the sense that I am more attracted to somebody when I'm chasing them. And I know I'm not alone. There's other women out there like that. But for you, Omar, like, I pursued you. I made the first move. I gave you my number and gave you a cheesy pickup line. I was reeling you in.
She's the hunter. I'm the gatherer.
Now, don't get me wrong. I've done plenty of chasing in my life. But, like, I always knew deep down it wasn't going to work, you know? Like, it didn't feel right. If I had to be the one trying to convince a guy, wait, this logic isn't making sense.
I don't know where it's going.
What I'm trying to say is I don't like it when guys hit on me. Like, when I would go to a bar, if a guy was, like, putting the moves on me, I immediately thought he was a douchebag. And I can get really snarky, and I can be pretty witty, and if a guy shows up, he's wearing a suit jacket with, like, a white t-shirt under it, and he smells like cologne, and he's, like, trying to put the moves on me, I can very easily shoot him down. And Brian seems like that kind of guy, where he thinks he's hot shit, but he's actually, like, not witty at all, and I could easily put him down. That's what I meant. Anyways.
Cool.
He just, like, has zero personality. There's no substance to him. He's a chiropractor from Miami. I bet he got his chiropractic degree from University of Phoenix online. I feel like he's not legit. And his mother, when Rachel met him, was like, if you break my son's heart, I'll kill you. Wow, what a sweet memory of the first time you meet your mother-in-law. being threatened that she'll kill you. Like, nothing about that relationship felt natural to me. And the most personality I ever saw come out of Brian was when she took him on a date in Geneva and bought him a Swiss watch, which, by the way, she didn't buy it. ABC bought it. And then he passionately kissed her. That was the most personality I'd ever seen. So clearly he's a status guy.
Yeah.
And that is such a turnoff to me.
Even when he proposed to her, he didn't even get as excited as when...
Yeah, he was more excited about getting a Swiss watch than he was about being engaged to Rachel Lindsay. So, anyway, the other thing is, the breakup between Rachel and Peter on the show made zero frickin' sense. Because it came down to the wire. Rachel came to see Peter the night before somebody proposes to her. And he had laid it all out on the line and said, I am so in love with you. And she, in the end, ended up saying, I love you. And he was like, I just am not ready to get engaged right now, which I totally respect. He has vocalized that he sees engagement as marriage, which I do too. If you're engaged to somebody, you're basically married without a piece of paper saying it. So I respect and understand his feelings because this show is shot within 2 months. I knew that I wanted to marry you after probably that many months, but I also know we shouldn't have been engaged after that many months. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the guy, especially because he had said to her, and if you don't pick me, enjoy a mediocre life, which is a little mean, but also very true, because when you saw Brian and her together in the finale, none of it felt real or authentic. It felt so forced and phony.
Yeah, like it definitely feels like a produced relationship. And she was like, God, I hate that I know so much about this. But in the finale, it's basically a watch party of the finale. It's like very meta. They have Rachel sit down and watch the final episode, and then they
with
cut
Chris
to
Chris Harrison in front of Chris a Harrison, live studio audience.
Yeah, and so they like cut to her after like every segment and be like, hey, so what's up with that? Why were you crying there? And it's just like really weird and puts her on the spot. But they brought Peter in after she dumped him,
mm-hmm.
And they played back that part where he's like, where he said that, basically, if you don't end up with me, you're gonna be
mediocre.
Yeah. and so like right after they talked, and you could tell that Peter is still like visibly upset and like saddened,
mm-hmm.
because he still had feelings for her. And Rachel was just like, I'm just living my best life. Like just very like snarky. And it's almost like, in my head, it's like...
It made me hate her, and I loved her all season.
In my head, it was almost like she knows it's right, and that's why she's pissed and, like, trying to... like
she knows that she should have been with Peter?
I think so, yeah. Because she's, like... It's almost like she's trying to convince herself that she's better off now, and, like, mad that he... Like, whenever you tell someone, like, something that's, like, true, that's usually when they get the most upset. Like, when mm-hmm. they're just like, ugh. Shut up. You don't even know what you're saying. I'm happy. And then they cry at home later. Like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just feel like eventually she's going to be like, oh, why did I go for Brian? Is that his name? Brian.
Brian, the chiropractor from Miami, who, by the way, when he posted on his Instagram finally that, like, he's been engaged to her and he's so happy he can finally make it public, he posted the photo of him on his knee proposing to her. And then, here, listen to the song. It's like he took a Snapchat and just put some heart emojis all over it. Sorry, I'm unprepared. Please hold.
You know, it'd be great if Peter posted a picture of himself and then with the song, You'll Never Find... As long as you live, someone who cares about you.
Okay, listen, this is
like
Brian's...
I do.
This is Brian's Instagram song he chose to announce that Rachel's is his fiancée. Three. It's plain to see that you're the only one for me. I mean, great song. Oh, great song.
Steps
but,
one through three.
I bet Brian still has a lot of Abercrombie t-shirts in his closet that he wishes he could still wear. Bully him with me!
And I start back at one.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Brian seems so lame. He seems like a mama's boy. Rachel is going to hate her life when she's married to him and realizes his mother is a nightmare. And he will take his mother's side over her, which is problematic in a relationship. Don't get me started on that. Dr. Phil.
Didn't they ask him? Oh, yeah. I guess he never answered
But that's the problem. He did not say it.
Yeah.
He should have said, Rachel is who I defend. I love my mother, but Rachel's the end all be all for me. And he didn't.
Yeah. And Peter's too heartbroken to become the next Bachelor.
And the thing is, that was an uncomfortable finale to watch. It was infuriating. And, like, the actual proposal felt so anticlimactic, and I wanted to shut the TV off. And the only reason I didn't was because I have to watch it to be able to talk about it.
It's such a stupid show. Like,
what? Shut up, Omi.
No, but seriously, like, how are you going to break up with someone who you're in love with and then turn around and then accept someone's proposal?
And
like,
within 24 hours, it's psychotic.
It's setting your marriage up for failure. Like, they're going to watch this later. He's probably going to, like, just have it. Like, on a thumb drive and just watch it at night. Like, hate watch it every 5 months and be like, oh, Peter. Like, seriously, yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just, like, not healthy to, like, just go from that swing of emotions of, like, love, heartbreak, love again. It's just so weird. It's dumb. It's the stupidest thing, and I hate that I watched it.
I just want to know why Rachel felt it was so important to be on the producer's timeline.
Yeah, because she was like, I want a proposal. And it's like, girl, just go for love. The proposal will come.
Exactly. And the thing is, this show has happened before where people don't get engaged but decide to stay together after the fact. It's not like the producers hold a gun to your head. They probably get very close. But they don't actually do that as far as I'm aware.
I think ABC prefers knives to the throat. Knives.
And just a lot of sexual assault allegations. All right, well, that's what we'll be talking about next time when Bachelor in Paradise premieres. Anyways, those are our thoughts on The Bachelor. Oh, last thing.
That was our food for thought. Guys, I'm available for punch-ups.
Oh, no. Well, Omi, I was going to ask you, like, if you ever went on a show like that and I was the Rachel Lindsay, I could see you being that Peter.
Yeah, I'm Silver Fox.
Would you have... No, like, in our relationship, I'm very much the one that's always trying to do things sooner rather than later. And Omar, you're very much think before you speak, before you... I just said speak. Think before you speak, before you act. Everything is very well thought out and calculated with you, and that's what I love about you, appreciate about you, and that's also what sometimes upsets me about you, because I'm so impatient.
Yeah,
but you know that. Everybody knows that. I'm the most impatient person ever. But I'm curious, like, if you were in Peter's shoes, Peter could have also had the choice to say, okay, let's get engaged, and then convince her to push off the wedding for a while. Because Brian and Rachel made it sound like they're not in any engagement. Yeah, and that's what a lot of people from Bachelor Nation end up doing, and then they ultimately don't get married. But Brian and Rachel made it sound like they're not really planning the wedding right now. They're just taking their time, enjoying and being engaged, which is what they all say. Mm-hmm. So I want to know why Peter couldn't have just let that go. If he loved Rachel so much, let that go, entertain the idea of being engaged, and then be basically just together, but she has a ring on her finger. Would you have done that, or would you have done what Peter did?
I have no idea. Ugh. I can't even... hypothesize. It's such a weird thing to think about, because I'm also thinking about, like, I would also be thinking, I imagine, about the other dude that you've also been dating simultaneously for the past 2 months or however long it was, like the other guy that you spent the night with and possibly hooked up with. Like, it's just such a weird concept. Like, I have no idea. It messes with people's minds. But maybe the fact that Peter, maybe, like, he did look at past winners and did see the trend of people getting engaged and then putting off, like, just having a lengthy engagement and then just never following through. So maybe he thought, like, oh, this doesn't mean anything, but I want it to mean something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe he, I guess I could see why he did it.
This might be an uncomfortable time for me to tell you that I just broke up with Peter last night, and you're the one for me.
I'm the Peter all along. I'll call my mom and have her send you a death threat right away. Post haste.
All right, let's wrap up this segment. It's been too long. Omi, you want to talk about deals and steals? This is a wonky episode.
This is a wonky episode, and this will serve to further the wonk. So last week, we decided to be adventurous, be futuristic, embrace the change, and order our groceries through Amazon Prime Fresh, whatever it is.
Amazon Prime Now.
Through Amazon Prime Now. So
I'm a big fan.
I hate it. Here's why. It's nothing against Amazon or Sprouts. We got our groceries from Sprouts, but it was just like delivered by Amazon.
Same prices.
Same prices. However, you don't have as much control. Like, it'll say, you know, here's chicken. It's like $1.99 a pound, and you're like, okay, cool. Let me get some chicken. But it's like at the store, you can peruse through. You know how when you buy meat or cheese or whatever, like from the butcher, it's like not always uniform. It's not like a prepackaged 1 pound of ground beef. It's like five chicken breasts that could be all different shapes and sizes. So some will be like 4 pounds and some will be 5.5 pounds. And so you don't have, you can pick when you're at the grocery store what size you want. But when you order it through Amazon, through online, they just give you whatever piece you want, which I guess is fine. They should all generally be around the same weight. And that's not that big a deal. But like if you want to buy something from the bulk section, which I like to do every now and then, we wanted to get some granola. I go for like a 1/2 pound of granola, which I think is a reasonable amount of granola.
Yeah.
But when you buy it online, the options are in pounds. You cannot get a 1/2 pound. You have to get a 1 pound or a 2 pound or a 3 pound bag of granola. Why can't I just order a 1/2 pound online? That's the most upsetting thing.
And there was like something else. You're most upset about the granola?
Yes.
Or the fact that when we ordered a pound of red potatoes, we just got one giant red potato.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wanted to get like five smaller potatoes. Instead, they gave us two big potatoes, and that was 1 pound of potatoes. And it's like, what am I going to do with this? I had to cut one potato up last week to make hash browns, use half of it to make hash browns, and then I ate the other half today. Which is fine, I guess. So there's really no point in me getting upset. But still, I'd rather just have like a single serving size of potato.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway.
I personally liked it because with your Prime membership, you don't pay any delivery fee. You choose to tip if you want, which I tip 10% to the delivery guy. But like we placed the order for our groceries at 11 p.m. and they were at our door at 8:30 the next morning, which is pretty convenient.
That's true. It only took them 9 hours to deliver our groceries.
Jesus.
Also, another little loophole, we didn't have to pay for paper bags, and they delivered our food in paper bags. And for those who don't know, in California, the state of California, you have to pay for bags now in order to reduce our dependency on disposable bags. They encourage reusable bag use.
So are we not going to do this again? Because I kind
of
want to do it.
No, we can do it again. It's fine. It's fine. But here's the thing. Now I have a conspiracy theory going. Because we ordered our groceries through Amazon online, last week we didn't get our grocery flyers, guys. Mm. We didn't get our grocery flyers, so I'd had nothing to read all week. I could have gone to the library and checked out a book, but no. I read grocery flyers, and they didn't show up because Big Sprouts is upset that we lost faith, even though we still bought from Sprouts.
Wow. Was 9/11 an inside job, too?
9/11 was a Tuesday, if I remember. Was it?
It was. Yeah, it was.
Which means the grocery flyers would have come out the next day. Guys, I think we're seeing a pattern here.
And that's when it's time to go to our guest. Are you ready to talk about Indian food with Ahmed Barucha?
Yeah.
It's time for a foodie call.
Today's guest is one of my favorite comedians. You've seen him in the film This Isn't Funny on YouTube with his sketch group Dead Kevin, on TV, on Conan, Adam Devine's House Party, and his own half-hour special, both on Comedy Central. And currently, he's on Adult Swim's Dreamcore LLC. He's also one of the nicest people we know, was Omar's roommate, and now is going to be a dad! Woo! Woo! Welcome, Ovid Barucha!
Hello!
Hi!
Yeah, thank you. That's
did I
nice
cover
intro.
All the bases?
You did!
Like, good. Wow.
You guys couldn't see, but when she said one of my favorite comedians, Ahmed looked around.
He's right here. How are you? I was just
I'm good.
We were chatting before I hit the record button, and I was getting very excited for you to be a dad. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Now, Abby, your wife, she's a comedian too. I feel like this is a really weird thing to say, but I feel like being pregnant in the comedy world's pretty hot right now. Thanks to Ali Wong.
Is that it? Oh, okay.
Because
yeah.
all the like I feel like all the young moms I know, when I talk about you being a comedian, Omar, they're like, does he like Ali Wong? Does he know Ali Wong?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, does he want to get you pregnant? Is he pregnant?
So Abby should just rebrand herself to being a pregnant comic.
Abby Wong.
Abby Wong. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about food. So when I asked you what your favorite food was, you said Indian food. Mm-hmm. And then usually I like to get more specific, but then I asked you what your favorite dish was, and I had never heard of it.
Okay, cool, yeah. I probably didn't spell it right either.
It's fine. I Googled it, and one of them, you gave me two answers. One was chicken, oh, shoot, now I can't find
chicken
it.
Chicken karai.
Oh, no, the one with the B.
Oh, biryani.
Biryani. And it basically, now I can't find the definition, but it basically just said a mix of, like, vegetables and rice and sauce.
Ahmed?
Yeah. But well, because I was going to say, like, that's funny because I feel like most Indian food is just a mixture of vegetables and sauce and rice.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Is that mean?
No, I'd say almost every, like, ethnic cuisine, a lot of their dishes are variations of, you know. Like, Jim Gaffigan has that great joke about, like, describing Mexican food. It's like, what's a quesadilla? It's like, it's a tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables.
Yeah.
yeah, well, I'd say biryani is really just, like, it's a rice dish. I usually eat with, like, lamb or chicken.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, like, I would say it's almost like a jumble of flavors and stuff. It's, like, it's all cooked in one big pot. Like, it's kind of like curry cooked in rice or, yeah, it's really good.
Like a jambalaya.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, I feel like every ethnic cuisine has that version of like rice with a bunch of stuff in it.
Yeah.
What was the last thing you ate?
Today?
Yeah.
I just ate what are those things, those like nut bars with stuff. Like...
Nature Valley?
No. What was it called? I can't remember what they're called. They're like, you get them at like Starbucks or whatever. They're like, almost like a candy bar, but like seems like maybe it's kind of healthy.
Oh, yeah. And they got like chocolate chips. It's like oats and
stuff.
Yeah,
you can like pretend to be healthy.
Yeah. I know.
A fancy granola bar.
Yeah. Before that, I ate at Cafe Gratitude.
Ooh, I've never eaten there.
Kelp noodles. It was delicious.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Isn't that the place where every dish is called, like, I am beautiful?
Yeah. You're, like, supposed to not... You're not supposed to order, like, the beautiful. You have to say, I am beautiful.
Did
I ordered
you do
the
it?
I am liberated. No, I ordered, like, cauliflower, and I was like, oh, the cauliflower... Oh, I mean the exasperated or whatever it was called.
I'll have the flummoxed.
Yeah. It is, like, kind of a culty, weird... It's, like, if you want to... Get the L.A. experience. Go to Cafe.
Is that the
Gratitude.
One on Melrose? Is that the one?
There's a couple. There's one on Larchmont.
Yeah, it's just it's Larchmont and Melrose.
All right.
And yeah, it's all raw, vegan.
Sounds
I think
exhausting.
Those are the two categories. Yeah, it's all raw vegan food, and the people there like are very like hippie like, and they love the place.
Have you been there before?
Yeah, I do. It's really good food. I do
it?
Like it.
I was like, yeah, I work there.
They have a lot of juices and just health. Like, whenever I'm trying to be healthy, but I want, like, really good food, I go there.
What is your favorite Los Angeles Indian restaurant?
Ooh. I really like Badmash, which is downtown.
Oh.
It's a little bit of a fusion, although they have a lot of, like, traditional stuff on there, and that's usually what I get because it just...
What do you order from there? We've been there
all night. Is that the one on 2nd Street?
Yeah.
Like by the downtown Independence?
Yeah. I took my dad there and it blew his mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah, awesome. Yeah, I don't think he'd had Indian food before.
Yeah, we took our friends who had never had Indian food and they were kind of nervous because I feel like people hear Indian food, they hear a lot of horror stories or people who like goes right through them or... So we're like, this one won't do that. Because, you know, it is like, there's a lot of like butter and oil and milk in mm-hmm. Indian food and cream and things like that. And I think a lot of times they go to buffets and they're just sitting out. So there is like high risk for that.
Yeah.
So if you go to one where they make it for your order and they don't use too much of that stuff, you'll be okay.
I feel like there's that old kind of cliche of like having Indian food makes you sick or whatever. Or, like, curry-type foods make you ill. That's never happened to me or anybody I know.
I've grown up eating it, so I've never had that. But, yeah, I think maybe it's the spice. I think that's what
maybe it's the spice factor.
Yeah, I think it's, like, if you haven't eaten a lot of spicy food and then there's a lot of cream and oil, I think those factors for maybe the average person who's ever had it. And then also it could just be the place you went to. So I think a lot of times that happens. Like I think actually Abby, the first time she had Indian food, it didn't agree with her. And so she kind of wouldn't do it for a while. And I was like, well, you got to have Indian food. So I finally kind of lured her in. And then now she loves it.
Nice. Was this her first time eating it? Were you guys together? Or was this like
no.
just years
well,
ago?
Well, yeah. We were together. Okay. She went to like San Francisco like early on in our relationship. And she's like, oh, I had Indian food in San Francisco. And it went right through me. And I was like, well, it's not... Don't blame the Indian food. It might just been
no.
The
it's
place
all Indian food,
I mean. Yeah, exactly.
I tried it
so
all.
So then I cooked her stuff, and then when I cook her stuff, it's like kind of it's like a Indian light. You know, it's like oh, it's just this chicken with some seasoning on it. So she's like, I like this, and then you slowly like win her over.
I feel like chicken tikka masala is like the starter.
Yeah, that's food. Like the pad thai.
Yes.
When you ask me what my favorite is, I do love chicken tikka. But, I mean, I love chicken tikka masala, but chicken tikka itself is kind of just like barbecue chicken.
Mm-hmm. So the masala is the sauce, and
yeah,
chicken tikka is just the way
means
the chicken's
like,
prepared?
Masala means spices, but it also kind of translates to curry, I guess. Hmm. So, yeah, it's like that chicken in a curry.
Whenever you make chicken on the grill, your Ahmed's famous chicken, is that
that's
pretty
chicken
much?
Tikka.
Okay,
yeah.
Which Ahmed has a delicious. Favorite, a famous chicken?
Yeah. Okay. You've never had it?
I don't know. I don't think so. Oh when you guys
like
live together, parties. You would make it?
I would either do that at like a party. I usually do like chicken wings or like chicken tikka.
Interesting. Yeah. Are you comfortable saying out loud what makes your chicken famous? Is it a secret?
It's not a secret. I guess just like there is this one spice that I get that I found in New York in Chelsea Market. And this like it's called like Bombay chicken curry and I just really love I usually don't like using pre-mixed things because then I feel like I'm not making it but this one I just love the smell and the flavor of it so it is like the one thing that I like always use
yeah
and then I add a little bit of my own stuff but yeah I don't know exactly what it is but check it out go to chelseamarket.com. I order it like online.
Oh, do you?
Oh, wow. Like shipped, yeah.
Aren't there a bunch of spice places here like the Grove has a whole hot
sauce
store You can't find it anywhere else. You have to get it.
It's just that specific one I loved so much, so I don't even bother looking for other ones.
You can do as long as you don't have to buy a plane ticket to go get it.
Yeah, no.
Spice stores are usually pretty cool places to, like, if you're going to a new city, like, if you find a spice store, it's like, you know, people will be like, oh, go to the museum or go to this, but it's like, find a spice store and just, like, walk around and, like, smell it.
So,
like, when I was in Chicago last year, someone was like, your friend, John Crescent, he's like, oh, yeah, go to the spice store on whatever, like, in this neighborhood. And I was like, okay. And then I went. And right next door was an olive oil place.
Yeah.
And so I was just, like, tasting olive oils and then going next door and just, like,
You're so hip.
I'm so hip, guys. I'm so hip.
The guy who recommended him to go to that spice store has come a long way. Because in college, he was the guy doing the cinnamon challenge and, like, eating ghost peppers and stuff like that. Now I mean, no, I'm sure we've all, I did like the gallon challenge.
Was he doing it for like drugs or?
No, just attention. Challenge. Okay. So you mentioned, you grew up on Indian food. So I kind of want to backtrack a little bit because you have a really interesting, childhood and you've talked about it in your comedy.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Your dad is Pakistani Muslim.
Yes. Although it's kind of not true. Like he's born in Burma. So Burmese food is also a huge influence on my childhood, but He was born in Burma. They're ethnically Indian, but they identify as Pakistani. So, yeah, it's weird. We actually, when I do that joke in my act where I say my dad's Pakistani Muslim. But then after that, after I wrote that joke, my sister found out that we're, like, Indian. But, like, my dad's family, like, refused when she says it. She's like, we're Indian. And she's like, no, we're Pakistani.
What did she find out? Like,
she looked up our, like, our last name. And our last name is a village in India.
Oh.
And, you know, in 100 years ago, India and Pakistan, or maybe even less than that, India and Pakistan were the same place. Mm-hmm. So, really, it's, like, all kind of just a, you know, arbitrary line, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it was like a religion war that kind of split off, and we're Muslims that are technically Indian, so I think that's part of why they say they're Pakistani. And they lived in Pakistan, and they never lived in India.
Interesting. When you say that, you mean your dad and his family, but your mom didn't ever live there, right?
Yeah, my mom's Irish Catholic, born in Rhode Island.
That's so cute. How did they meet?
They met at a ranch in Santa Barbara called San Isidro Ranch.
Okay.
They were both employees. My mom would work the switchboard, and my dad was kind of like an all-around like groundskeeper, waiter, busboy, bartender. And she would work the switchboard, and he kind of slept there, I think. He like lived there in a closet or something. I don't know what it was.
Oh, no.
But she would always get these calls for him, and so she kind of like hated him at first. She's like, who's this freaking guy who thinks he's so cool? He's always getting all these messages from girls. And then they finally like met, and I think they had like this kind of antagonistic thing at first, and then they just fell in love and got married.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
So what did you eat growing up?
So my grandmother on my dad's side lived with us, and she would cook a lot of Burmese and Indian food. She grew up in Burma, Indian and Pakistani background, and she used to own a restaurant in Bangladesh.
Mm.
And so a lot of those kind of flavors, like so biryani, chicken curry, which is what she made, and she used to teach me how to make it. That's like a chicken curry from Pakistan, and just like breads and just all kinds of spices. And yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier about Burmese food. Mm-hmm. What differentiates that from...
So the way Burmese I describe food? It is kind of Burmese food is almost like if Thai food and Indian food had a baby.
Mm.
So it's got a lot of similar flavors from each. Burma is right in between Thailand and India. And so there's a lot of like fish dishes. The kind of main staple that is my favorite food of all time is called Ono Kausar, which means coconut noodles. Mm-hmm. And it's this like thick coconut chicken ginger broth that you put noodles in, and then you put some cilantro and onions and lime and lemon and just crunchy noodles and things like that. And
it's really good. Is there any Burmese restaurant here in LA that you know of?
There are a few. I don't have – well, there's – it's weird. There's one in New York, San Francisco, that we had cater our wedding. It's called Burma Superstar. So if you're ever in San Francisco, go there. That's like my favorite one I've found. But there's a few here. There's there's one that just opened up in Silver Lake called like Yi Myanmar maybe or something like that. There's this Indian restaurant that on the weekends they serve Burmese food. So, like, we really kind of, like, relate to them because we're like, Indian that love Burmese or have some kind of both thing. And so, like, after 6 and on the weekends, whoever knows how to cook the Burmese food comes in, and they have really good dishes. They have really good kousware.
Wow. It's like their Burmese brunch. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. Bloody Mary.
Yeah, like, come on, give it to me, man.
Wait, they have good what is it, kousware?
It's called kousware.
And kousware. What is that?
Kousware actually just means... knock and pull, which I guess means noodle. That's what my grandmother used to tell me, because I guess...
The way they make it?
I don't know why she would explain that, like, when you make a noodle, you kind of, like, you grab it and you, like, knock it and then you pull
it. Stretch it. Yeah, because haven't you seen the machines that make noodles where it, like, stretches it out and then it brings it around?
So that's why it translates to, like, noodle, I guess.
Mm. What's the word?
Kousway. And then the one I like is called Ono Kousway, and Ono means coconut.
Okay.
So it's coconut noodle, and it's just so good.
Noodles made out of coconuts.
No, the noodles themselves, traditionally it's an egg noodle.
Okay.
I actually don't use that. My aunt on my dad's side always like scoff at me. They're like, this is not Cuff's way. I use a rice noodle.
Okay.
But I just like it because it's like thin and takes the flavor of the broth better, I think.
Did you grow up enjoying cooking, or was it you just liked eating it?
Both. I think early on I was very interested in recreating the things that I liked. And I always watched my grandmother cook, and my dad's a really good cook, and we grew up in restaurants. So, yeah, I always wanted to cook.
Did your mom ever jump in the kitchen?
Yeah, she did too. She's not a bad cook. She's like, I like her food too. She just didn't do it as often as my dad, and she kind of only has like a few dishes that she makes.
Yeah.
But yeah, she would make like a really good grilled tuna, or she'd make these little weird quesadillas. Like, kind of at first, I didn't like them because she would use like corn tortillas, and it almost was like Swiss cheese or something that was just, like, not the normal like cheese for a quesadilla. Yeah. But then she would like saute chicken and onions and a lot of garlic and put it in there. So it was just like this weird version of her quesadilla that I ended up just really becoming like a huge fan of. At first, like, this isn't a quesadilla. What are you doing?
I like how when kids are like, this isn't like, yeah. I like how Eddie Murphy has a joke like that. He's like, this isn't a McDonald's burger.
Yeah, exactly.
So you cook a lot now. What's your favorite thing to cook?
I really like making the cow sway. That one I feel like is one of my best dishes. I also like making fish tacos. That's always when I first met Abby, that was like my first or second dish I made her to kind of wow her. We used to have a Mexican restaurant, and those were like one of our best items. And so I always try to.
Wait, your family had a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah,
Santa
Barbara,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
really? That's so funny.
Because my parents always worked in restaurants, and we owned an Italian one first that we bought from. My mom worked there for like 10 years, and the owners were wanting to retire, so we bought it from them, and we ran that for a little while. And then once they got out of that, they opened a Mexican restaurant because my dad had worked in like my favorite Mexican restaurant in Santa Barbara that's not open anymore, but he kind of took a lot of the like recipes from there that he had kind of worked on in the kitchen, and yeah, we opened our own. It was so good.
I imagine growing up with a family owning a restaurant is like my big fat Greek wedding.
It was cool. It was a lot of like hours because my parents were. My mom was the waitress and the owner.
Oh, wow.
So it was like they were always there and we were always there. So sometimes it sucked because you're like, I don't want to be in this restaurant anymore.
Yeah.
But it was awesome that you just got to get out of school and just go eat whatever you wanted.
Right.
Was it like a movie where like the kids were like bringing kids, like, hey, here's
my older sister did work at the register.
Oh, okay.
And then I think sometimes they let me do the dishes.
They let you.
Yeah. Like, we'll do the dishes.
How nice of them.
I picture like that like typical dishwasher and like the white shirt and like slapping a dish rag over your shoulder.
I was just like 10 years old.
Yeah.
He's swimming.
And most of the time I just like hung out in the back and juggled lemons and stuff. So I found out.
Can you juggle?
I can juggle only three.
Only
three,
lemons.
Yeah, only lemons. But like I remember like my mom would come back there and there'd be all these broken lemons. She's like, what are you doing?
Nothing. I gotta wash my dishes now.
If you weren't a comedian, do you know what you would be doing with your life? Like, would you be
I think
a
probably
chef or
like
something?
A chef or a restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe not. The only thing, I love cooking, but I've cooked in restaurants, but cooking in a restaurant is not as satisfying for me because I'd rather cook in my home and see the people eat the food.
Yeah.
But in a restaurant, you're just like pumping out the food and you're like, I hope that they liked it. Every once in a while, a waitress will be like, hey, they liked it. And you're like, oh, cool. But then you don't get that like gratification, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
But what you do, it is fun to pump out like food. Or you get like a rush for that.
So you've traveled a lot for comedy. You've toured a lot. Are there any cities that like stand out in your mind of like, oh man, I hope I get booked here because the last time I was here, I had a really great meal at this restaurant or something along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco has my favorite Burmese restaurant. I mean, all like the, like New York's got just amazing cuisine. Chicago, I like I've only been there a few times, but I love a Chicago dog.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's really been places, although sometimes you go to like the middle of nowhere and you just can't find anything. But mostly, like, the major cities all have something good.
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to think of, like, anything surprising that we've been to lately. Omar and I have been just spending this year traveling to go to other people's weddings.
big wedding year.
Really?
Yeah.
How many?
We've gone to...
We have 8 this year.
5 so far.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
8?
Yeah. And in 2015, we also had 8.
Yeah.
2016 what? Was a light year.
It was a down year. We only had like 6
popular wedding guests.
I guess so.
I don't know what happened. I was in a sorority, which doesn't help. I feel like join a Greek organization, you're like, oh great, now I have to go to 150 weddings.
That's crazy.
But then you're just
I just
guy.
Paid people to be my friends. Right. So then it's like, I paid for the invitations.
Who's got more weddings? Like, are you the plus one or who's?
I think this year it's you, but I think a couple years ago it was me.
Wow. Yeah, well, we were kind of 50-50 because all of his friends were getting married the same time my friends were getting married. And we're 5 years apart, and I also feel like there is something to be said.
You guys are 5 years apart?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so I feel like in the Midwest...
Yeah, Kylie's 38.
Wow.
Yeah.
Age so well.
Thank you so much. No, I feel like in the Midwest, like, a lot of people get married younger.
Yeah,
it's just,
true.
Like, more common, and then... Omar went.
My friends are like marrying, I guess, later.
But also, yeah, a lot of his friends are like doctors and lawyers and stuff,
so
that
like,
they just
like
finished their schooling.
Finish all that.
So I think once they became super eligible bachelors, then they were like, all right, time to lock things down.
Do you guys like going to weddings?
Yeah.
I used to be salty about it, but really? Now that, well, I think it was just because
she didn't have a good dance partner before.
Ooh.
That's true. Omar can tear up
the dance
floor. You
guys cut up the floor?
Yeah. Omar can cut a rug, and I just stand there and drink, and then I like
I just dance around her, and then, yeah.
Do you cut
up the floor with a pair of scissors?
Do you guys make incisions? Yeah. Into the,
you guys slice it up?
Omar... Okay, I say that Omar can dance really well to Michael Jackson, but he denies it, except one time his best friend from college got married, and he was wearing a full-blown tux, like, with the coattails and the top hat. He looked like the Monopoly man.
Not me, the friend.
Okay. I'm sorry, wow, Phil,
really
if you're listening to this.
The,
yeah, not you, the groom. The groom. And he had on gloves, too. And this was a Polish wedding, and so, like... 5 minutes into the reception starting, they accidentally shattered a chandelier. So, like, it was a wild,
you know, Polish.
Ceremony. Yeah, because they're dancing on the ceiling.
They
yeah.
just picked up the groom. They, like, did a box shot, picked up the groom, and then he, like, punched
the chandelier.
They
had, the like, low-hanging lights, yeah.
Yeah.
And just punched it.
And so, later into
but
the reception...
But then how many did it take to screw in the light bulb afterward? Sorry. Old street joke. Yeah, a lot.
Anyways, Omar was
one
a little
to screw
toasty.
In the light bulb. Tend to turn the building.
Yeah, exactly.
Omar was a little toasty, and he got the groom's glove. And
oh,
he
yeah.
was
I forgot
legitimately
about that.
Dancing Michael Jackson moves to it. And he, like, doesn't remember, and he's denied it. And at every other wedding, I'm like, Omi, do those Michael Jackson moves. And he just doesn't.
It's like that guy that's, like, drunk, that
yeah.
can, the drunk savant. Yeah, yeah, can only do it when he's drunk. Like, I can only, I mean, I can dance.
Two more
right,
shots.
Sober, but yeah,
can get you
if I'm,
Michael
like, really
Jackson.
Drunk, then I'm just like, whatever, I'll beat it. I'll beat
but
it.
But he can moonwalk. Like, you can do all the MJ moves.
Yeah, some of them. Not well.
A lot.
He's a
little
guy.
There's a lot.
Can you do the floor hump?
He has a floor hump?
Yeah, that,
Michael
when I was
Jackson?
A kid, I
yeah.
got in trouble for doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do a
floor
hump?
Yeah. It's
everyone
almost like
a
reverse.
Floor
it's almost like a reverse hump, right?
Oh, it's like,
oh, yeah,
like the
you're
worm,
on the ground
but
and your butt just
yeah,
comes
your
up.
Butt goes up, yeah.
But I just always think that
the
was pull cool
out.
And then I did
you're
it
like pulling
and
out.
Yeah. I also got in
sorry,
trouble for doing like the crotch grab when I was a kid.
Why were you getting in so much trouble?
I think my mom just thought it was really inappropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is.
Like, I think I did it on the way home from school. I like was like, ow! And then my cousin, who was like a year younger, told on me and then... got in trouble. I was like, grabbed his crotch. They're like, oh, that's such a cool dancer.
Also, who's this cousin who's just trying to bring down your dancing?
Just a fuddy-duddy, you know?
Just a real jerk.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about comedy. Who's your favorite?
I came here for food.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite comedian of all time?
Ooh, that's really hard. Richard Pryor or like Chris Rock. Dave Chappelle, one of those guys. It always changes. I mean, it kind of depends on what I like about them, you know?
What are your thoughts on Chappelle's 2 latest specials?
I loved them.
Yeah.
I thought they were great. But I'm just, like, such a nerd for him that I don't think he could have done anything that I wouldn't have liked.
Yeah, he can do no wrong in my eyes, too.
But, I mean, like, I don't know if there is... I wouldn't put him where, I, like, his my favorite one is Killing Me Softly.
Yeah.
That's I don't know if one. They were that good, but they were... I just thought they were great. And it was really just kind of fun to see him back and see his take on a lot of things. And I liked... You know, he has, like, a lot of... There, you know, maybe there was a few jokes in there that I wasn't, like, in love with. But it's just kind of fun to see him... Kind of, he toes this line of, like, being offensive, but also being poetic and having great insight. It's just really cool to watch.
That's always been his thing. And I feel like... Go ahead, Omi. You have something to say.
You're going to hate me. But can we pause so that I can go use the restroom?
Yes. You can pause so you can go use the restroom. Okay, we're back. Omar just peed. How was it?
Sorry, guys. I mean, it was very relieving.
That's good. I'm happy for you.
Was it yellow, clear...
It was mostly clear.
Okay, that's good. You're hydrated.
Yeah, considering I had... So,
but you're not taking your pills.
I'm not taking my pills. Okay. But I haven't eaten... I hadn't eaten dinner since, like, dinner last night. And then she texted me, like, earlier today, like, oh, do you want to eat something? And, like, at this point...
You just said you haven't eaten dinner since dinner last
night. Yeah, sorry.
Almost nearly had breakfast and lunch,
but yeah. You still didn't have dinner.
I haven't eaten since dinner last night. And I also am, like, running on, like, little to no sleep.
Yeah.
But she texted me, like, oh, do you want to order some the dishes that you had mentioned? Biryani.
Mm-hmm.
And biryani and chicken karai. So we can try it before Amma gets here. And then I was like, you know, I've already gone, like... 18 hours without eating. I think I might just go for a full 24-hour fast.
Really?
I thought about it because
I've read
in books.
What's the point?
I've read in books that like a 1 to 2 day fast every now and then. Like,
yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah, it's good for you. So then at that point I was like, well, I might as well. But then, like while we were waiting for you, I just decided to eat.
But,
so yeah, surprisingly. Considering I hadn't eaten or, like, really drank that much water, I was quite clear. Impressed with how clear my pee was.
Wow.
Should get that checked out. That's probably good.
So I want to talk a little bit about Dreamcore LLC.
Oh, cool.
Tell us about your character.
So my character's name is Nurse Ahmed.
Oh, how original.
Yeah. So the show itself takes place in this kind of deranged laboratory where patients come in and we go into their dreams and... kind of give them therapy and try to help them through whatever issues they have in their life. But it's kind of messed up and the equipment's old and, you know, you can die if we do something wrong. So it's kind of like a dark comedy. And I'm the nurse who administers all the, like, the drugs. And then I also take all of those drugs. So I'm just kind of this drug addict nurse that is always messed up.
And you guys... are filming season two?
We just finished filming season two. Now they're editing it.
Okay. Do you know when it'll be out yet?
I think it's supposed to come out in October.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you posted, or keep the listeners posted on when they can tune in. What was, like, your favorite moment about filming that show?
I got to do a lot of fun stuff this year. I would say there was one episode. A lot of times, I was a relatively small character in the show, so a lot of times I don't have anything to do with the plot, and when you don't have anything to do with the plot, you're, like, more susceptible to get, like, edited out. So there was one episode where I was part of the plot, so that was really fun, because I knew, like, all right, no matter what happens, I'm in this episode. And so I, like, were, like, mixing chemicals to make some kind of amphibian, like, medicine for people that have to, like, go underwater or something, and the thing breaks, and then I, through that episode, turn into this, like, amphibian creature, and so that was really fun. They had to, like, put makeup on me and transform me, and the guy that did the makeup worked on Pirates of the Caribbean with, like, those underwater pirates.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
And I remember, like, early on, I was like, wow, this kind of looks like the Pirates of the Caribbean. He goes, I worked on that. I was like, oh, cool. So that was really fun.
What is, do you have, like, a oh shit moment where you've been on set and, like, something caught you? It doesn't have to necessarily be this show, but maybe, like, before you were filming a special or, like, I don't know, a moment where you felt like you were overwhelmed or you didn't feel like you were right for it, but in that very moment you felt like, oh my God, can I do this?
Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like that a lot with the show, especially because my character is kind of small and they leave a little room for me to, like, improvise. And sometimes that's harder than it sounds, you know, like...
Oh, improvising sounds so hard. Yeah.
But, like, I remember, like, first season, I didn't have a lot of lines in the script, but they were like, all right, you're going to be the improv guy because we heard you're really good at improv. Like, okay, but then it's really hard to do that when people have lines and the cameras are, like, set up for this guy. And you're like, when can I come in and say my thing? Because it's going to be distracting. So that was really hard. And
is the script just like, Nick says this, Ahmed, say something funny.
No, even laugh. That would be kind of cool because then the camera people would have a heads up. Oh, it's kind of just like, this is happening. There's usually like an action line for me, like, I come in and I put an IV in your arm. And then so like a lot of times it's like, maybe what else? Do something else. So you're like,
but, there's two IVs. Yeah.
And like everyone else on the show is more seasoned actors than me. So there, you know, you do have a lot of like doubts of like, oh, they're all so good or they've done this before. I don't know what I'm doing. But as the show went on, I got more comfortable and they let me play a little bit. And so towards the end, I really started feeling like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Do you have any other exciting things coming up?
My baby.
Correct.
Who wrote
also
that?
Also exciting.
Me and Abby, we're writing.
Nice, nice. Co-producers.
Yeah.
So as far as having kids go, like, are you going to be like the next Jim Gaffigan? Is all your material going to switch over to dad jokes?
I don't think so. I hope not. I definitely would like to talk about my kids and everything like that. And I do enjoy that kind of comedy. I love when like Louis C.K. did it. I loved when Cosby did it before. Now you can't like Cosby.
Yeah, womp womp.
He's a monster. But his
you guys
kids
started here first. Ahmed loves Cosby.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. But I do like that kind of humor, and I don't want to become, I've never wanted to be a comic that only does one thing. Right. So I don't want that to happen, but I do hope that it generates material because I do need some new jokes.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And that can be like personally and career wise, however you want to answer that.
I would like to, you know, be doing still acting in TV and stuff like that, and being able to do the road, do some clubs that I like, and, you know, just being successful enough to be able to choose the good stuff and not have to do the bad stuff and be able to be home with my kids.
Yeah. Have you recently felt like you had to choose something that you wouldn't have chosen if you, like, I don't know,
yeah,
you
actually,
have a choice.
Already with the baby coming, you know, I've kind of blocked off a month around his due date, and actually people have asked me to do like gigs after he's here, and now I do have to like look at, before I was like, I would do a gig no matter what, anywhere. I would lose money. I wouldn't really care because it was just like, all right, yeah, I'll go to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But now I'm starting to have to be like, that's not really worth it. I don't really want to be gone and lose money when I have a kid at home.
That's smart.
So, yeah.
Are you, do you think you'll be like, if let's say you take on these projects like acting or just like a road gig, like a long, like a tour or something, would you bring Abby and the baby
that
along?
Would be ideal.
I feel like Abby likes to come to some of your
she
stuff
does
sometimes.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. I don't know, it depends on how we are as traveling parents.
Yeah,
I would love, in an ideal world, I would just love to like tour with them. I think that would be the best,
have them be your opener.
Yeah exactly. But I don't know, I think if it's for a long period of time maybe, but if it's for like, luckily a lot of my gigs are like 3 or 4, that's like the length. It's like, oh, I'll come back after 4 days. So I don't know. And I hope so, but I don't know how logistically, like if she's working, cause she has a job too. So if she's working, do I just bring the baby by myself? That would be cool. Or do I leave him with her? I don't know.
You need to get a tour bus. Yeah. Like what rock stars do, and then live in it. Miley Cyrus toured with her dad growing up, and she turned out just fine.
Okay, maybe I won't do that. No touring for my baby.
It's quitting comedy.
Yeah.
Are there like other comedian dads that you can ask for advice from? This should be like
a
new
comedians
support
with
group.
Kids, but
Christian Spicer is.
Yeah, that's true. He.
But I don't know how much like touring and like
yeah
stuff like that.
I don't know.
There needs to be like a comedy dad.
Facebook group. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and if it's like probably any of the mommy groups, it would just turn into like arguments about how to breastfeed or whatever.
Abby's been joining some of those groups, and seem like they just add anxiety.
Yeah. I'm not even in them.
I was looking at this mom group, and they were saying how everything sucks, and you're like, oh, God.
Well, and also, like, I've heard that so many of them get into fights. Like,
really?
Yeah, they, like, argue about, like, how to feed your kid, like, if breastfeeding is good or not. Yeah, everyone
has really strong opinions about everything. I've already started seeing that world of everyone wants to really tell you. Yeah, unsolicited advice, like, 1,000 times.
Imagine it's, like, nobody wants their own, like, to mess up with their own kids, and then they're like, well, this works. Yeah, you should be doing it like this.
It's crazy. And I love getting advice and asking for advice, but there's a lot of, like, forced advice and, like, too confident of advice, too. I like someone's like, I don't know, this is what I do, and it kind of works. I hate when it's like, no, this is what you got to do. You just got to do this, and it's just this way, okay? And you're just like, all right, get out of here. That's like the least likely I'm going to follow that advice. The more confident you are in your advice.
All right, get out of here, crafty gratitude waiter.
Yeah. All you have to do is tell your baby you are beautiful.
Well, if you ever need some babysitters, Omar and I are here.
For sure.
We love babies. You didn't say yes to that. I love babies.
Yeah. No, sorry, okay. I nodded.
Omar loves babies.
I forgot it was a podcast. Yes.
He's been nodding a lot.
A lot of nodding.
Okay, Ahmed. This is the question we ask every guest on the show, and it is, what is your secret sauce? And you can answer that with cooking, with your career, with life.
Metaphorically, physically.
Yeah, however you want to answer it.
I would say,
aside from the Chelsea Market spice, spices you already said. Yeah.
I'd say I kind of been thinking about this lately. The way I like to like look at life is like where you're kind of like floating along in a river, and like you can kind of like swim to the sides, but like for the most part, like life's just gonna like take you down the river. So just let it. Don't like fight the river.
Mm.
So that's like my secret sauce.
What a zen answer!
Yeah.
Bruce Lee.
You can kind of like paddle to the side, but you're going down that river.
I love that. Okay, so I want to play a game with you. I play a game with all of our guests, and I always name it something different. And basically, it's like a this or that. So this one, since we were talking about Indian food, I was trying to find like a good word and a bad word. So if you like what I say,
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Say curry.
Okay.
If you don't like what I say, say worry.
Okay, curry's terrible. Worry's bad.
This is probably the worst one I've ever had. Curry or worry? First one. Cauliflower is a substitution for rice.
I'd say curry. A light curry.
Okay.
A light curry.
So not often, but you know.
No, I've had it, and I'm like, okay, that's okay.
It works.
I didn't
in a
hate
pinch.
It, but yeah, I would do it again.
Comic-Con.
I've never been, but I assume curry. Sounds cool.
How positive of you.
Are you, like, into comic book stuff?
For the most part. I'm not a big comic book reader, but I do like a lot of the stuff comic books have produced. Like, I always used to watch the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon and love all the movies and things like that. But I haven't actually, like, read a lot of comic books.
Yeah, I think I'm the same.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody reads comic books anymore. They just say they do.
Tim Burton.
And then they go... He writes them.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are his
Goat Man.
He's got Goat Man. He's got this other one that came out called Animal Hospital. I forget what the name, but that one's really cool.
Wow, he just got free press thanks to you.
You're welcome, Tim.
All of our listeners are gonna sell out.
That Tim Bargulish, I think.
Okay, curry or worry? Social media.
Curry.
Wow.
I'd say it's got a lot of good and a lot of bad, but I think the good is mostly going to outweigh the bad. It keeps us all connected.
Yeah. You have a sketch group, Dead Kevin, and you guys were YouTube-based, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys get a lot of, like, mean comments?
No, you know, I think that we always felt like the more mean comments we got, that probably meant we were actually, like, not famous, but...
Doing it right.
I feel like we had like enough success where we had a lot of like nice fans, but not too much success where we started getting haters. Like every once in a while you would get like a mean comment. But actually like we had two different times where there would be someone who would like mean comment each week, and they slowly evolved into like a fan, and it was really weird. Like they would be like really mean and aggressive, and they, but they'd be back the next week. You're like, why are you watching? And then about like 3 weeks in, they'd start like they'd shift into be like this one guy. He was just so mean, and he was just always saying mean things. And then he like started messaging us saying, like, "Can you shout out to me in your sketches?" And we're like, "What? No, you're mean to us." And then he was like. He tried to convince us that when he was mean, he was being hacked. And he's like, no, that was my hacker. And he kept calling him his hacker. And then he, like, sent us this, like, screen grab of, like, someone saying, like, I'm going to hack you. And he's like, no.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
You guys got a – what's that term that they use for when guys are mean to girls?
Negging?
Yeah, he was negging us.
Yeah. That's what so weird funny. Fans.
And then mostly Ryan – well, we've all had this experience, but I feel like Ryan gets the most, like, kind of...
Ryan O'Flanagan.
Like, clingy fans, or, like,
for anyone
they'll message him, be like, oh, I really like your sketches, and he'll respond, be like, thanks, but then the conversation just kind of goes on forever, and, like, there's one guy, especially, I can't remember exactly the details, but he would ask Ryan for advice, and Ryan would kind of give him advice every once in a while, but he started messaging him a lot and a lot.
Oh, God.
And so, like, Ryan didn't know what to do, so eventually kind of, like, ignore it. Yeah. And then the kid would be like, oh, you hate me.
Oh boy.
What did I do? And then Ryan would be like, oh, no, sorry, man, I was just kind of busy. And then the kid would be like, okay. And then he'd, like, go, okay, I got to start ignoring this kid. He'd be like, oh, you hate me, I don't know what I did. And he's like, no, just... This is like endless cycle of like.
I would love it if Ryan were like, "Oh no, I had a hacker and yeah, I was deleting my emails. Look, here's a screenshot.
No, don't hack me."
I imagine that fan must have been like a 13-year-old.
Yeah,
very emotional
I think most of
boy.
Our fans are teenagers.
What does that say about your comedy?
We're childish.
I have a question.
I'm okay with that.
Whatever happened to those guys that like? Oh, what were they? Those, like, three white dudes? That,
I
like,
trolled
were...
them on Instagram. They were copying your sketches.
They, like, copied, like, one or two of your sketches.
I spent
just, like,
2 hours
up on it.
day.
She, like, went to town.
I had a day off. And I just... There was a sketch group who was copying Dead Kevin on Instagram. And I think Ryan or somebody posted about it. And so I just went on their Instagram video and I just... commented over and over and over, tagging a new person who commented that they liked it. And I was just like... They stole from Dead Kevin.
Yeah, I think our fans like handled it. We when I first saw it, it annoyed me, but I kind of have this like philosophy with like comedy and jokes in general. Where, like,
the river.
But like we're so like protective of our jokes, and for me, I think it's like as long as I got my joke out, and I don't really care when people take it. I mean, I do. I don't want them to take it, but I just. I'm not into the culture of, like, we gotta take these guys down. They're stealing. It's like, no, they're just, like, copying and they suck. So,
right.
I mean, they did have way more followers than us. And but, yeah, I just watched it and I thought it was so bad that it didn't bother me.
And it is a form of flattery.
Yeah, exactly. And it was – part of it helps that there was such an old sketch. If it was, like, a sketch we just came out with and they stole it, I think I would have maybe felt a little differently. Like, ugh. This hasn't gotten its life yet, mm-hmm. but that sketch was 5 years old, I think.
That was like one of the first ones.
Yeah, right? It was one of our first ones. It was actually our most successful one, too.
Yeah, it was like the first one that like really popped off.
It was
too,
your
right?
sketch about doing the dishes, right?
Yeah, dirty dishes. And mm-hmm. it was like, it's not like the most original idea or premise, but when you watch ours and theirs, you're like, oh, they did the
shot
same camera
shot.
Angles, yeah. like mostly the same lines. It was just like, mostly I was just annoyed that they didn't even... try to
make
change
it, their
own. Yeah, they're like, you can watch the sketch and change a little bit of something so that no one notices, but they were just like, well, let's just do it the way they did.
Okay, last courier worry, daddy bloggers.
Daddy bloggers? I don't know if
that's
I
a thing. Like,
know what that is, but I'm gonna say worry. It just sounds awful.
Have you heard about mommy bloggers? Stay-at-home moms who blog about being a mom, and then they
I guess
get free,
in general,
like,
I don't like bloggers.
Dish detergent and stuff. Well, I mean...
Dish detergent. Wow.
It's like they get paid in product to talk about it, and then they're like, oh, my kids love Charmin
I'm
going to
give it a big, fat worry.
All right, well, we'll check up in a year. You're going to be the biggest daddy blogger out there. Well, Ahmed, thank you so much for
coming
on the show.
Yeah,
it was so great to have you.
This was very curry.
Oh, thank you. I was worried it was going to be more of a worry. Please tell everybody listening where they can find you on social media if you want.
Sure. At Ahmed Barucha on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard to spell, but it's AhmedBharoocha.
And you have an album out. Where can people buy your album and laugh?
On iTunes, it's called Almond Badoody, which is probably harder to spell than my name, and I do regret that.
Easier to pronounce.
Yes, that's true. Easier to pronounce.
Almond Badoody on people can get it on iTunes, right?
Yep.
Cool. Omi, where can everybody follow Foodie Call?
At Foodie Call Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and Foodie Call Podcast on Facebook.
Thanks so much for listening. Ahmed, thank you again for coming in. We love having you. Bye!
Yes.